Welcome to the MindBody TV podcast with Dr. Kim DeRamo. I'm a conventionally trained physician sharing how the body heals and how you can access this state of healing effortlessly. Hello, welcome to MindBody TV. I'm Dr. Kim DeRamo. I am going to share today about manifesting 101, like the basics of how your body works, that you actually are a manifesting machine. Happy New Year. I know a lot of people, I mean, there's so much new energy that comes in with the new year or with like your birthday or anytime there's like a newness, you move into a new house, you get a new job. There's the opportunity to cultivate a massive change, a revolution, you know, to cultivate a new you, a new life, new habits, new ways of thinking and seeing the world. And so with a new year, especially this new year in 2021, with so much awakening that's happening, so much that's rising to the surface, as I spoke about all year last year, the choice, will I live from love or will I live from fear? And that it's really in our face so much to begin to choose to live from love, which is freedom, resilience, abundance. It gives energy to our body. It allows flow, resources to come to us. And so as we start this year in 2021, it's a really powerful moment to activate conscious manifestation. So for those of you who don't know me, I am a physician. I was originally emergency medicine, trauma, critical care, but I was trained as an osteopathic doctor, which is all about how the mind and body are connected, that the body has the ability to heal itself. And so I have created my medical career around that, around assisting people with chronic illnesses that are not getting better no matter what they try. And what is it that actually helps us heal? I've gone way beyond the bounds of conventional medicine to study, to mentor with people who were doing amazing things and to begin to practice this myself, what actually allows the body to heal. And the interesting thing is it's the same thing that allows us to be in thriving relationships that are meaningful and connected, work that we love, that is what we're designed for and brings us more fully alive, living in the kind of environment that we want to live in, like connecting with who we really are is what allows the physical body to reverse disease and to really thrive. So I would love to hear where you're tuning in from, whether you're listening to the recording or the podcast, you can always reach out, or you're here live. So welcome, Rebecca from the Netherlands. Oh, hello, JP from Russia. Caro from Belgium. I've just discovered you and I'm already a fan. Thank you for amazing videos. It really helps me get my hopes to regain health and power. Oh, thank you, Mary from Decatur. I went to my residency in Atlanta and I lived in Decatur, if you're talking about the same Decatur. So hello, Annika from Sweden. Abigail from UK, and thank you for your amazing work. You're very welcome. Hello, Kim Hafsa. Oh, so let's look at what needs to happen for your cousin. She can certainly tune in if there are things, or you can share this with her. Hello, Janet. Hello, everyone in Facebook. And Paloma from UK. We have lots of always an international group, which is so exciting. Anita from Stockholm. Jill, Baltimore in the house. All right, Amy, Gail, Sue, David. Yes. Quebec. All right, thank you guys all for being here. Met from Denmark. Sue from UK. Oh my gosh, it's always so incredible, like how eclectic. So I'm going to tune in first. I did go to school in Providence, so hello, brethren. I'm gonna assist you first with these kind of like foundational pieces about manifestation. Now, if you've heard me speak before, you might have heard me share about the fact that your body is bioelectric. You are made of pure energy. You're not just a physical, static, separate thing. That all of your cells are alive and they're actually transmitting information. They are sending a signal. And that signal is either, I'm here, receive me, let's do this. Or it's like, oh, don't look at me, I'm really unworthy, don't treat me well. And we block abundance. And everyone and everything, conscious or not, are responding to that signal. Like all the unconscious programs, like
everyone that you interact with, you're either going to bring out the best in them or bring out the worst, and they will abuse you. And then you walk around like, why am I always in lack? Why can I never get enough? Why is everyone mistreating me? Start with you. Now, don't make yourself wrong for how you've created it thus far, because most of us have been creating unconsciously. So off the hook, no wrongness here. Hey, what would it take for me to create consciously? I wonder what it would create if I love myself, I cherish myself, I'm willing to be generous with myself, I'm willing to give myself the freedom to be whatever the heck I am and however the heck I am without judgment. So when you begin to step into that, there's a lot more that's possible, because guess what your inner self really wants? To be loved, accepted, freed, embraced as you are. And then all the scary thoughts we have about what that would look like can dissolve, because what you are is beautiful. All right, so have a few deep breaths. First part that I want to share about manifesting is what some people call faith, or I can just finally trust myself. But I like to remember that it's actually in you, and it's a certainty. It's your knowing. So take a few breaths for the first few moments and just center in your body and relax your shoulders. And if you just start to relax your shoulders, soften your body, you begin to come home to your center. And in this center, you got to sometimes practice it so that the conscious brain registers the awareness. What do I really want? What makes me come alive? What am I really about? I don't know, right? We got to go in to let that awareness register. So if all you do for like the first week is begin to just breathe in your body and soften, you will retrain your brain and your nervous system so you do have the awareness. Oh, here's what I really care about. Here's what I'm great at. Here's what I want to do. Here's the thing that's right for me. So don't worry if at first you're like, I don't feel anything, because most of us have been so trained to follow the program that we never learned to tap in and look. What do I really want? So I really want to be somebody's employee and work at a desk job all day? I don't know. Let's look. But most of us are in the program, which is like, do this and this and this, and you'll be happy, right? So you're like trusting these outside sources. So the first piece is begin to connect within. So if you just soften your body, let your breath deepen, this will shift your nervous system so powerfully. That's how your brain works. Your nervous system is already calibrating to where you put your attention and to how you flow your breath. So just take a few deep breaths in and then exhale slowly through the mouth. A couple more. And just relax. Okay, bring your attention to your heart. Now there is a knowing, right? There's a space in you that already knows who you are, what you're about, what makes you come fully alive, and yes, what are your greatest heart's desires? You may have some awareness around this, or you may just be in your head and I'm like, well, should I do this? Maybe it's that. So play with this a little. For me, what always came when I first developed this ability to really tune in intuitively, it felt like I was making it up. And then when I began to read people's bodies and know what was wrong and what was going on and what needed to be adjusted, I felt like I was making it up. But I gave myself a lot of license, was like, all right, well, let's just try it out. I don't know what's happening, but maybe blah, 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 blah. You know, it's something going on in the liver, or it's something from the diet, or, you know, I have this awareness. And as I tuned in, I got better and better at letting myself know what I know. And yes, you could call it trust, trusting what I know. But as I developed it, it was a certainty. So the first certainty we can practice with is try on the idea. What if everything that's happening in my life right now is happening for me? What if there is a gift? What if I can just let this in and let go? And I want you to breathe and feel in your body. Is there a lightness there? What if I can let go and actually life is on my side? What if I'm creative and I'm powerful and I could create something spectacular? So I just want you to let that into your cells. Let that into your body. Is there a lightness? And you can share with me. Is there a lightness? Like, ooh, now don't go in the mind. How do I do it? Just feel, is there a little bit of a lightness? Because your body as an bioelectric machine will register truth. So if the truth is, I'm powerful, I'm creative, the world is responding to me, and it's okay for me to play with that and let myself access my power. When I begin to register truth, it will feel light. When I buy into lie, oh no, it's not going to work. I should just stay in the ER and be an ER doctor because that's just a pipe dream. No one's going to want that. I don't know how to do it. How will I ever make it work? I must just be crazy. There's a heaviness. And I'm not saying I never had those thoughts because I'd bounce into that doubt once in a while. Like, what am I doing? Why can't I just be a good ER doctor and make a living doing that? But I also knew, like, that's not who I am. There's something else possible. So there's like the heavy light game, which I always recommend practicing. Always look. When the doctor told me, you have this autoimmune disease of late onset juvenile rheumatoid, blah, 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 and you're going to have to take medications forever and your body's never going to be the same. You'll never be able to run again. I was like, oh, it was so heavy. And because I was in my body, I was aware of this. So I could say, wait a minute. What if that's not true for me? That's not my truth. I know that's not my truth. And it was just like taking off this heavy shroud of that diagnosis and meaning and just like releasing it. I can let him have his perspective and I don't need to make it my own. So there was a lightness. And yeah, my body healed very quickly because I started to listen. So light or heavy? Yes, there's a lightness. Yes, there's light. Jen, yes, I'm so in the space of feeling like I'm making up all of my knowing, right? So if you let yourself practice with a little bit more and play the light heavy game, that certainty is more of it's, you know, it's not a trust. It's not a faith. You could call it that. I get it. But often when people talk about faith, it's like in this thing outside me that's intangible that I don't know. Versus like, whoa, there's my knowing. It's right here. It is clear. I'm not meant to do this. This is hard because it's not what I'm meant to be doing. And I can let it go. And life is on my side. And something new will get created. I don't know how, but I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to listen. And immediately you're tuning into a different station. So good. I'm glad that it's registering. Okay. So that's kind of the first piece is this. Will I trust my knowing? Because when we start with manifestation, listening to what we know beyond what we think, sitting to what we know instead of what we think, we actually manifest something really powerful. And what we know is just like what I said, people will say, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I don't know exactly what my desire is. Just go to the general. I'm at peace. My heart's desire is to live at peace with all that is. My heart's desire is to be free, to express what I really am and to be loved and received as the gift that I am. That's general, right? That doesn't necessarily mean, and I'm going to establish a business doing this and it looks like this and this is what I call it. Okay, that will come. But you first have to go to the general, the essence of it. I have recently shared a practitioner series for those of you who are light workers, healers, coaches, moving into something more expansive, or other doctors. Someone reached out to me this week who was a doctor who like had this illness and was like, I'm out of here. Changed her practice, had always had this leaning toward healing modalities, started studying them, started learning. But this was what really pushed her over the edge to be like, I'm out of here. I'm going to do it differently. And then we get to find our way into what does that look like? How do I create that? So I created a little mini series. It's free. drkimd.com/practitioners is where you can opt in to receive those videos. But just, I know that the whole world of medicine is ready to be created anew and it will come from the inside out. And that's this first step. Will I trust what I know over what I think? Because especially for that doctor, what you think is You got to do it this way. This is the right way. This is how medicine is done. This is who you are. This is what you can and can't do. This is against the law, right? Like, this is the rule. And so sometimes we are in that linear space of like, oh no, or wow, I have some gifts, but I'm not credentialed. I'm a soccer mom or I'm a lawyer. How could I do that? Well, that's the limitation. So what you know is there's something else possible. Are you willing to trust what you know more than what you think? What you think is the program, right? It's the box. You do X, Y, and Z, and then eventually you're going to have it together and you'll be happy. So it's this like path to an end, a means to an end versus I do what I do because it brings me more fully alive, because it's who I am. And it lights up my cells and lights up my life when I choose to do this. Jen says, thank you. It's just so affirming. My knowing always feels so expansive, but then I question it when I see how others react to it. I'm a practitioner too, and I'm learning to trust this knowing. Ah, that's so awesome. I'm going to put the link here for drkimd.com/practitioners. If you would like to tune into that series, there are so many people right now who are maybe like in the closet, but you're actually supposed to be something powerful. And it's exactly those thoughts and beliefs that make us think like, no, I can't do that. So for all of us in 2021, what are some of the stirrings and openings and, whoa, I don't know, maybe curiosities that are starting to come up? And it may be, like I said, around a generality. Could I really be more at peace? Could I really have more abundance? Could I really just have lots of free time and be doing the things I enjoy and my life would work? Okay, because the in-the-box system/program, it's not like that, right? It's like you spend 60 hours in the box, get it done, and then maybe have a little time to go and play, which equates to like drink your worries away because you're so stressed out. What else can you do? It's not, people talk about work-life balance because that, why do you have to balance it? It's because it's a nightmare. You're like, why am I doing this? And then you have to balance it with like, let me do life. The fact that work and life are supposed to be two different things is fucking insane, right? Work and then life. Oh, so while I'm working, I'm not alive? That is the paradigm that is falling. It's crumbling. My niece spent the day yesterday with her dad because she was doing her online school. She's like, oh, I'll go to work with dad and do it at his office. And she came home. She's like, there's no way I could ever do a corporate desk job. At the end of the day, I was so miserable and so contracted. And it took me hours to shake it off. How do people go and do that every day of their lives? Right? Why? She said, why do people do it? Like, my dad worked really hard in college. He worked really hard in law school. He worked really hard to get where he is. Why do people work hard to get there and do that? And obviously, you know, my brother-in-law is, he's aware. He's waking up. He's like, wait a minute, how can I do my life differently? So be willing to ask the question. He has genius in him. And he is noticing that now. And he's like, whoa, I actually deserve to have abundance. And yeah, what would it take to create that? And so he's tuning in. So this is the thing. We all have genius in us. We do. Yes, even you. Even the places where we really, really think we don't. BG, I've been waking up having panic attacks again. It's scary and uncomfortable, but I replay your words of embrace it, hug it, and love it, and it does help. It releases the energy. Don't fight. Thank you. Beautiful. This is happening for a lot of people. Do it during the day. Like when you walk around in the day, body, I'm okay. I love you. It's okay. And then your nervous system integrates through the day, the change, the newness, the information, the expansion, what's happening in life. So it's not all necessary at night and you're overloaded. And then it's like too much of a speeding up. So when I hear people having like panic attacks or heart palpitations or things that are worse at night, that's because the body goes into like a restorative relaxation. And there's just too much to integrate. So be aware of that and practice during the day to affect what's happening at night. Yes. I feel this so true in my bones, Kim. Thank you, Paloma. I have fear around never figuring out what I'm meant to do. So you've got to practice being willing to tune in when it seems like there's nothing. And this is tricky if we're like busy, productive, that you're like, oh, I'll get to that later. There's nothing. But that's your choice. Wait a minute. Is there really nothing? Because when you first begin to register, you bring your awareness inside, soften your shoulders. What is my deepest heart's desire? And you're like, there's nothing there. I don't know. Because your nervous system isn't attuned to registering that kind of information. I spoke, I think it was in September, I did a Mind Body TV about registering your heart's desires. This will be really useful right now. And it's like letting your conscious brain begin to tune into that frequency of information, because it's at a higher frequency, right? The frequency of you should do it this way. Let me show you versus what else is possible. Let me look. What's here? It's a higher frequency. And we just got to allow that attunement, recalibration. So presencing it anyway, hands on the heart, breathing into the heart. What else is possible? I welcome my deeper self. I welcome my higher self. And you'll start to pay attention. Just put your attention physically on your heart. You'll pay attention to different information. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Your words of acceptance are changing my life. Beautiful. All right. I've been struggling with sleep lately, and it brings up tons of victim energy. Well, so here's the thing about victim energy. It's very interesting. And I shared this yesterday. We did a big group call for everyone who bought the book, The Mind Body Toolkit, and it was really, really powerful. I'm going to find a way to use that again, because I think it would be so useful for so many people. But when we're in, like, even say it's anger or frustration or, oh, I'm just a victim, whatever it is. And you think I'm feeling this because XYZ happened, right? She said this thing and now I'm feeling this. And then we think we just got to fix that other person, or we got to fix that outside circumstance so I won't feel this thing. But the fact is, the reason you're feeling like a victim, or the reason you're feeling anger, or the reason you're feeling hurt, is because you're feeling hurt. And the thing that's happening to trigger it is to make you aware of what you're feeling and the energy you're carrying that probably came from like 3 years old or even before that, that you're still carrying, that's incomplete. There's this part of you that's like, see me, I'm hurting. So I've noticed this, you know, I move really fast because I sometimes forget. I'm like, Kim, you're physical. You can't just walk through the wall. You got to go around it. So I've had to learn to like get in the body, slow down. But one of the things I've seen is if I ever get hurt, especially if I get hit in the head, or like I get hurt, that whatever emotion I've had that I've not attended to comes up. And sometimes I'll cry like, because I'm like, I'm so freaking pissed. I didn't know I was so pissed. Maybe I knew a little, but it will come up really loudly. So for example, if I'm like maybe paying more attention to my family than to me, I got to get those things clean and get this thing in order and make sure the kids are eating the right thing and organize and like actually overdoing it, like not just being in my ease, something will happen. Like, I don't know, someone won't appreciate me enough, or like something will break, or whatever it is, it will trigger everything that I'm feeling to come up. And I might be like, I just feel so unappreciated. And it's not like the problem's out there. It's like, wait, what am I doing that I don't appreciate myself enough to put the energy back on myself, my own ease, my own well-being, because that's what's going to feed my family. That is the most important thing. And so sometimes I'll invite those triggers, like, okay, yep, there I am holding in all that anger and resentment. And it will come out when I like that thing happens, or I hurt myself, or so-and-so triggers me. So the reason we have that come up is because we have that energy. We're carrying that victim energy. So the choice is, especially for 2021, will I live from love or will I live from fear? Because victim is fear energy, right? Life is happening to me. I am separate. I got to make sure I do it right. So this will happen. Life is happening to me. But truth is, life is happening for me. I am one with life. Can I receive life? Oh, this thing happened. Okay, it's happening to show me da da da. It's happening to wake me up. to where I'm out of alignment, where I'm living my life out of alignment. Can I welcome it? Will I receive it? Or am I going to reject it? No, why do these things always happen to me? And validate victim, right? I'm either going to validate love or validate fear. And if I keep validating victim, I'm just going to keep experiencing more and more as though I'm a victim. Life is happening to me, right? I'm physical, I'm solid, I'm separate, and here are the rules. And if I follow the rules, I'll get the carrot. But that's not actually true. So we all realize eventually. So she said, it brings up victim energy with the sleep. I'm so tired that I can't do this or that. How do I tell if this is an excuse or if I need to sit with it? Oh gosh, this is a great one because sometimes we're being asked to sit with something, but we're so ingrained to fight against everything that we're like, oh, that must just be because I'm lazy and I don't want to fix it and I want to fight it. That must just be because I'm lazy. So it's like, okay, it's always an invitation. How do I know if it's an excuse or that I need to sit with it? So don't ever buy into doubt. The doubt will be like, you're just making excuses because you're a lousy wuss, right? That's never true. So feel the frequency of it. Like, whoa, let me just push through this, find the strength, get up and go. Or like, no, let me just sit with this. So light, heavy, push through it. Come on, make sure you go, right? And you're like, I don't know. Something about that does not feel like flow to me. So always tune in. What's the truth here? What's the gift here? What's going to create the most here? I know for me, whenever life is asking me to like rest more, I always doubt it because it's not my nature, but it will serve me immensely when I listen. And I spent years working my stress, quote, stress out with like running, run a marathon, run a half marathon, run 6 miles. And it would have benefited me so much more to just take a nap and actually let an existential reboot happen to live from a totally different foundation, which is actually what happened after that whole autoimmune disease diagnosis. That was kind of a little reboot for me to realize like, whoa, it's not actually creating more to push. Andrea, interesting you say that about what happens at night. I always feel like I have physical symptoms at night, but I never know if I'm dreaming it or it's real because I wake up and the ailments are gone. So a lot processes at night, a lot. And when we're in the waking state, the circuitry is running, we can be distracted, we're overriding things. So that's why it's really helpful to sit for like 10 minutes a day, breathe into your body, stop, put more attention inner than outer. One of the other things I wanted to share about manifestation, and this is in the Mind Body Toolkit, this is tool number 6, finding your inner ease. And it's one of the most powerful parts of using your guidance system. When I let things be easeful, it will always create more abundance. So there's a Buddhist proverb or Taoist proverb that says, if you don't have time to meditate for 20 minutes, meditate for 40 minutes. I think I'm paraphrasing. And I always remember that when there seems like not enough time, not enough energy, not enough money, I remember, oh, cultivate abundance, be more peace, let more of me show up. So, find what's in my ease. Well, be in my ease, in my flow, because that literally parts the seas. So this is like another law of manifestation is the law of peace. When I come into alignment, a space of peace, even just relax your shoulders, just that one thing, you cultivate greater inner ease. It lets everything manifest differently. I'm not going to be able to answer all these questions, but I am looking through them. Oh my gosh, light bulb moment about running into the wall. It triggers everything I'm feeling that needs to come up to my awareness. Ah, I know, it's crazy. Jen said, wow, I feel like you're on fire today. Every word is so full of truth. What a gift this is for us. Thanks, Jen. Hold on a sec. Sweet Hafsa, I wouldn't be able to look into your cousin specifically as an individual. But you could certainly look into if the programs I'm doing resonate with her, she could certainly move in that direction. It's hard for me to read her through you right now. I don't know if she would be able to come. I don't really feel, actually, sweet Hafsa, I don't feel like she can come here, meaning I could say whatever I'm going to say, but she's not in a space where she can receive it. So for you, let her go. I don't mean you're not caring about her or assisting her. I mean, be in your own well-being and know that she has her journey and that the journey she's on is perfectly okay. Because when you're at ease with where she is, it will actually open the space for her to receive more than what she can receive right now. But right now, there's not a lot she can receive. So I would just say open the space within you that it's okay. She is exactly where she is. That's a really difficult thing for people to do when there's illness, especially depression. And I have immense compassion for that, having gone through that so many times on my own. But it is actually what opens up the space the most powerfully. Regina, can you do this while still in grief? Frick yes. Yes, especially. Because if I can't embrace grief, what you resist persists, then there's these unresolved pieces there all the time that I think it's too overwhelming, it's too dark, it's too heavy, it's too deep. Most people don't go there within themselves because it's too deep. I'll just lose myself in it. But the truth is, like, you are not, that's not your natural state. Your natural state is love, joy. I embrace what is. So if you can embrace grief and choose to be the one who says yes to even this, you can allow it to transmute, because all energies return to love when they're given the space to do so. Interestingly, exactly what we're talking about with Hafsa and her cousin with depression. Oh, sweet Lucy. I went through an excruciating gut and agony Boxing Day to January 2nd. It was so low. I started feeling a soul lightness after the New Year Hell Week. I felt I really made progress, finally letting go of a good deal. Yeah, because you're still in duality. Oh, finally, I got rid of that. But it's still a rejection. And I'm not saying, like, we don't have a preference to not live in pain. I'm saying the energies that are arising for you are still being rejected, and you're in the duality of, like, oh, now I'm free. Oh, no, now I'm not. So when the pain comes back, it means you're not free. That's the victim energy. What if when the pain comes back, you remember, I am whole. What would it take to bring more wholeness into my body? And that is to meet the grief, to meet the despair, to meet the fear. I really feel healing will occur for me in this. Oh, let go of a good deal of the anguish and sorrow I felt toward divinity for all the world's suffering. Yeah, because you've taken on the world's suffering and it's not yours to take on. You know, whenever we take on other people's energies, like, oh, that poor person, oh, let me help them, right? We do this energy transfer and it actually blocks them from healing. This is one of the major things I've had to learn as a practitioner. It's not, I cannot operate in duality and actually help anybody heal. I can only do that from neutrality. I am what we are, one. We are connected. I embrace all of it as it is, because I embrace that which is within me. I embrace that despair within me. I embrace that fear within me. Now I can really show up as a freaking power source that can allow so much to transmute for the other. But when we do the, oh, you know, that duality of try and help someone heal, we take on their energy. Now it's kind of like, we got it. They can't complete it. They'll never be whole. Even if that person's dead, give them back their energy. Release it. You do not need to hold them. It can complete in them. Because what does that mean? It means I see them whole. I know that just like I've come into my own integration, they will, they can, they are. This is part of their integration. And I can let them have their pain. If I can't let my patients have their pain, I can't allow them to heal. So I'm like taking everybody's energy on. It can't complete. Pain is a great awakener. What happens when I bump into the thing and I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm aware of everything I'm holding, like I talked about 15 minutes ago? Or what happens when I feel my pain, the heaviness of holding those densities of I'm not enough, let me just stay in this job I hate. Whoa, when I feel it, I'm like, wait a minute, maybe that's not true. I can make a different choice now. I can make a different choice because I'm not broken and neither are they. And if you remember, the world is not broken. You can let so much more happen. My friend Dan said that to me. It was like, oh, 10 years ago. And it hit me between the eyes because I knew he was right. But I was like, WTF, how is the world not broken? How is the world perfect? This doesn't make any sense. And so from duality, it doesn't. But for the first time, I got it. I really got what he was saying. The world is a perfect reflection of me. The world is always giving me the reflection of me so that I can awaken and make a new choice because I am a creator. So I want to end with that and invite you to choose to consciously manifest. Get yourself off the hook for whatever you've created thus far, because that's one of the things that first happens when people realize, like, wait, I've created this. You're saying it's my fault. They make it wrong and they make themselves wrong. And that's just like, no. I'm a creator, I'm powerful, and I choose to awaken every day more. Today, even more than yesterday. That's expansion. That's what being alive is. Now I can consciously create to a higher degree, because what we realize, the more conscious we become, is what I really want to create is love, is connection. And that the reason I was chasing that back there is because I want to know love. But I had it, you know, we're a little distorted, right? We want to know love, but we're chasing the carrot because we don't really know it's possible. So if you knew everything were possible, what would you allow yourself to receive? Oh, hello, Stephen. Thank you, Rachel. JP, yes, I get it. I chose to let go of my dad and refuse to see him as a helpless victim. He's on his own soul journey and his soul knows what he's doing. It's a perfect divine plan. See how much it takes to let someone go? Because we think, oh no, then they'll never make it. It's like, wait a minute, see them big. They are just as powerful as you are, especially with your kids. That's a really challenging one. Yes, all energies return to love when given this path. Like water follows the path of least resistance. I see them whole, not broken. Yes, so for practitioners, the link is drkimd.com/practitioners. It's a free series that I put together just specifically around this awakening where we are beginning to operate from our truth. Who am I really? What am I really here to do? Which is, what do I love? What makes me come alive? It's for me. Right? I'm not like, let me do this thing because it will help so many people and I'm such a good person, so I'll do this broadcast. No, I'm doing this because I love it, because I'm nurtured by it. And the reason it works in my life is because I found a way to let it make a difference for others. I found a way to let it contribute to the world. So when you find what makes you come alive and find a way to let it actually contribute to the world, there's your living. Because you are part of this world. So you're actually receiving what you're giving. So setting up the channels for that through like a business or through an organization or whatever, great. But you have to set up the energetics of it first. So what makes you come most fully alive? Thank you guys. Oh my gosh, that's my cousin. Hello, Gina. Hugely comforting, motivating, and inspiring. Oh, I love you, babe. Thanks, Taylor Gonzalez. I know a lot of people signed up for the mini integration this month, which is so interesting. I know people are really ready for so much. So thank you. Thank you for choosing that, because this is a really powerful. When I work with people live, it is extraordinary. It's like 20 years of integration. You know, it's very, very powerful. Who are you? Who are you ready to become? And when you align with that, it activates something in you. It activates your life. So you're welcome. You can email or just go on the website. There's a link for that. But basically what I wanted to connect on today are these laws of manifestation. Very basic. It's in you. Find your ease. Connect here with you, with your knowing, with the certainty that you already do have. So find it, even if it's a sliver of maybe there is something more possible for me. Just take that sliver, because it will build on that to the clarity of, I know exactly what it is, what it looks like, what steps I'm following this and creating this, and I can speak to it and give it words. But don't expect that at square one, square zero. Just I connect with the truth in me, and it will literally repattern what's happening in your system. I have had a money blog for years. What can I do? Well, it's the same thing. Feel into the space of abundance. What else is possible here? You've got to start using a different part of your mind. What else is possible here? Because feel the density of, oh, I have a money block, I have a money block. How do I fix my money block? Maybe I need to do affirmations. Maybe I need an energy healer. Maybe I need an etheric surgery, right? Feel how solid it gets. Ah, it's been there for years. So if you actually just, okay, yes, and this is also in the book, the yes and tool. It's one of my favorite. Yes, and what else is possible? You immediately start using a different part of your brain, of your mind-body system, a different part of your energy. And that's what allows space. Yes, X, Y, and Z, right? Give it more space. And what else is possible? Now, instead of contracting around the quote problem, which solidifies it, what you resist persists, you're expanding around it. That is not easy to do, because people are like, ah, if I make space for this, it will take over my life. And that's the lie, right? So, okay, this money block. Breathe in, breathe out. Freaking relax your shoulders like your life depends on it. Because it does. Oh, all right. I love you guys. Oh, I've had chronic fatigue syndrome for 21 years and so many downstream effects. I'm listening to your work. Yeah, we've had a lot of people resolve chronic fatigue, especially in the Embracing Health work, which is a more integrative program where we work together. But this is a major thing with the resistance, because I had, quote, chronic fatigue, and I was scared to death. In fact, this was really early on, like, oh boy, I don't know, 95, 96. And I you just began hearing the term. It was like a brand new thing. And it was like catching a, like, oh, did I get that? Oh no, please tell me I don't have that. And it's like, what? It's not a thing. It's a state. And it's a resistant state. Like when I was in so much resistance, fearing my body, fearing slowing down. Oh, I want to be productive. I got to do more. I was taking the, studying for the MCAT. I took the Princeton Review all summer. I'm like biking back and forth to Princeton Review. I got to take the MCAT. I got to do better, get into medical school. But there is so much fear. And so I was literally living ahead of myself. I want to get there. I don't want to be here. And it created so much resistance. My body couldn't function like that. And it like short circuit. I was exhausted, brain fog. And I remember my friend was like, maybe you have this chronic fatigue thing. I've heard about this chronic fatigue. And I'm like, oh no. And I got down on my knees and prayed to God, please don't let me have that. And what I got was, Kim, get off the floor, get in your body and cut the shit. Right. And the shit was trying to escape what I am. Right? I'm not good enough. I've got to be a better student. I've got to do better on the test. I've got to prove myself in the world. Created so much resistance. So I had to come back to, I'm willing to be in this body exactly as it is, even if we go nowhere, even if we achieve nothing, to be where I am now, who I am now, what I am. So there was so much for me that it brought up. So I, in the mind-body solution for pain, or the instant elevation would both be really useful. We're going to create a mind-body solution for chronic fatigue though. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Caro, same thing for 16 years. Yeah. It's a big deal. I know there's a lot of people in this community that are struggling with that, and all the programs that I have are speaking to that. But I know we could be really specific so people know it's for them. All right. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Oh my gosh. We have such a multicultural group. South Africa, Ireland. Thank you guys. Happy New Year. I definitely want to encourage you to know I'm a manifester. I'm a manifesting machine. I'm creative. I'm powerful. And then just like settle in. Be anxious for nothing. What wants to get created? My friend Tom Baylor wrote a book called What You Want Wants You. And it was so smart because wait, it's my heart's desire. It's who I already am. And like I talked about in that video back in September, which goes more into the mechanics of it, the technology of it. Your heart is registering higher frequency information. Like, there's a better job out there. And then you feel, oh, I hate the job. It just feels heavy to stay here. But if you're in the mind, you can't figure it out. If you're in the heart, you're like, ooh, what might we do? Well, let's go to that coffee shop. Okay. Oh, wow. We met this person. Ah, an opportunity. Who would have thunk? And serendipities happen, but we've got to tune in. So that is what I am leaving you with today. I'm at drkimd.com if you would like to tune in for more. The practitioner series is live if you're a practitioner or moving into like what we're creating in the new realm of medicine, real medicine, like what actually helps people heal. That's at drkimd.com/practitioner. We do have the Awakened Practitioner group if you'd like to be a member there. That's a collaborative where people who are of like mind are interested in moving forward and establishing something to assist humanity in healing. So you're invited there as well. I love you. Thank you. I'll be here every Wednesday live at 11 a.m. Share this with other people you know. If you're in YouTube, subscribe if you're interested in tuning in. And thank you for showing up and sharing and being seen and being part of this. Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to the Mind Body TV podcast with Dr. Kim DeRamo. For a special download to assist with integrating this work, go to drkimd.com/podcast.